From HWR HQ in Houston, Texas, it's the 240th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
I'm Portia. I'm sorry in advance.
And thank you so much for tuning in today, guys. Yeah, we have a bit of a change up in the lineup here today. Sometimes Chris can't make it. Sometimes Arnold can't make it. Well, this week, both of them mofos can't make it.
So, slackers.
Yes. So, that's what happens, and sometimes you just gotta roll with the punches. But we're still here, we're still live.
Yeah.
Maybe 15 minutes late or so, but whatevs, it's all good. If you're watching us live, thank you so much. We very much appreciate it. If you want to, you could log into your YouTube account or your Google account, and then you could chat along with us in the live chat. In the live chat, you could basically ask us questions, just say hi, talk shit. Whatever, man. I'll see it here on the old handy-dandy smartphone, and I'll try to incorporate you as best as I can into the show. Now, if you're not watching us live and you're catching us on the replay, thank you so much. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter at HWrestlingRadio, or on the Instagrams, HoustonWrestlingRadio, all together, one word. Just leave a comment right here in the YouTube section. That's easy enough. And don't forget, hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications. That way, when we come on next time, usually 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. But again, today we were a little bit late because of extenuating circumstances. But usually every Wednesday, 8 p.m., that's how we roll.
That's a lot of information. Can you start over?
You don't even know any of that. They need to know that.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're good. You're good. All right, live, 8 o'clock, Wednesday. There you go. That's the biggest thing.
Great. So all right. Where do you want to start first? You want to go chronological? You want to go with the big thing? Do you want to just go with a bad or a good at the start? What do you want?
All right. Well, I guess we got to kind of talk about Extreme Rules.
Well, I mean, I guess it did happen.
It did happen.
It was a thing.
It was a thing. What's up, Jumbo? What's up, man?
Hi.
I kind of want to start off by saying, I entitled this episode, the body count, right?
Yes.
Because it was Extreme Rules, so everything was going to be
extreme.
Yeah. But did you die?
No.
That's the theme here. So let's get to the person that almost died, the one that I would think is closest to death.
Yes.
Kevin Owens.
He got thrown off the cage, and he didn't die. Barely.
He barely didn't die.
Barely.
He almost did die. I think you and I were both watching it sitting on the couch out there. And I think when Kevin first handcuffed Braun in the corner, and then he went to the opposite corner and kind of taunted him or whatever and started climbing up over, I was like, yeah, Braun's going to get out of that. And Braun's going to do something. He's going to catch him. Remember?
Wait, I remember very differently. I said that it was... It was me.
That was
you. Give me credit.
Okay, but I had him flip-flop. You said that he was going to break out of the out of the thing.
Yes.
And then I said, oh, yeah, I'd rather be... Because it was after he already climbed up, and then it was obvious Braun was going to get him. And I said, I'd rather be alive and a loser than dead and a winner, because that's what Kevin Owens is about to be. He's about to be dead. Braun's about to kill him. What happened?
He died.
Braun killed him. Braun took him off of the top of the cage, flung him off. Technically, Kevin Owens wins because his feet touched the floor first, so he escaped the cage.
Well, technically, his head, then his torso, then his
feet.
Then
his feet. Hit the announce table.
Bounce.
Then the floor.
See, it's all about order.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jesus, that was sick. I know a lot of people after the pay-per-view, and I kind of watched this a little bit after the fact. I was a little bit late on watching. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people were talking about, oh, man, the main event. That was a big thing that was getting spoiled. But yeah. Me trying to stay away somewhat from spoilers, the thing that I saw that impressed me, that was like, man, this is a really good match. Mm-hmm. What's this match? Kevin versus Braun.
If I would say probably the best match of the evening, probably second only to the main event.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, that's my opinion, god dang it.
Okay.
Mine.
Oh, yeah, I see you found Dingy. Be careful. Don't blow out the ears of the people here.
Aww.
Nate, what's up? How you doing, Nate Outrage? Thank you for joining us. He says, hi, it's Faye. What's Faye? What are you talking about, Faye? F-A-Y-E?
I don't know who Faye is.
I don't know. Is that some sort of pop culture reference that I don't get?
Unless like he's speaking to like, it's Faye Ray, like it's a girl, and it's like, there's a girl on the show.
There is a girl on the show.
Is that what you meant?
Maybe. That's probably what it means.
Lucidate. Anyway, so what's the X in the Extreme Rules? What do you also want to talk about?
All right. So you said that was your second favorite match of the night, right? Mm-hmm. How about if I share my second favorite match of the night?
You go on ahead.
Well, that was AJ Styles versus Rusev. On Rusev Day, no less.
Oh, by the way, happy Rusev Day.
Oh, happy Rusev Day.
Well, thank you.
Happy Rusev Day, everybody.
There's actually an official one now.
Yeah, there is. Did that happen this past week, or did we forget about talking about it last week?
It was probably y'all forgot to talk about it last week, but I still am going to go with it. Like, Kane made it official. I mean, Glenn Jacobs made it official, not Kane.
Okay, yeah, he made it in Knox County, Tennessee, where he's running for mayor. He didn't win it officially yet, right? He's still in
the
running.
I think he's unopposed, so just like, here, just do your thing.
Okay. But yeah, he officially made it Rusev Day in Knoxville, Tennessee, like, I don't know, last week, sometime 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, either way, it's going to be Rusev Day in Knoxville all day every day.
Yeah. So. Well, just that one day, I suppose.
But it's
every day is Rusev Day, yeah, I get it. I'm a bunkin?
Yeah, bunkin? My bad. I'm a
what? What?
I just go with it. It's lingo. You're right.
Okay, lingo. I'm a square. I'm not hip.
You're more of a rectangle.
I'm a L7.
Please stop.
Whatever.
Just stop.
I don't get things.
No.
Anyway, so AJ Styles versus Rusev. You know, after Kevin Owens Braun, I was like, oh man, this is a good match.
Yeah.
But then Rusev AJ, oh man, this is a good match.
Yeah.
I was like thoroughly entertained by Extreme Rules. And I know a lot of people, especially in the aftermath, a lot of people on Twitter, online were saying, man, the only good match was the main event. And I was like, oh, there is more than one good match. I mean, they were pretty good. And I love the fact that, and I don't know how this much actually says for me, but I love the fact that I kind of got hooked and I thought Rusev was actually maybe kind of going to win this. In the throes of the match, in the heat of the match.
Baby boy, no. Think about what you just said.
I thought Rusev was going to win there for a couple of split seconds.
No.
Well, what did you think about that?
Well, I thought about the match was maybe it was my third favorite match. So there. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the pomp and circumstance of it. I loved, like, when Aiden English was trying to get involved, and he would be unsuccessful at it. And then at the very end, he tried his darndest, and he's trying for Rusev. He removed the turnbuckle pad, and then he messed up. Messed up royally, and then cost him the match.
Right. Being that was the story of the match, I thought that was very interesting. I like that they're trying to do this thing where there's going to be friction between Rusev and Aiden English. Now, I say that despite the fact that I know the last couple of weeks I've been saying that, hey, I don't want Aiden English and Rusev to break up just because Lana's around now. I want them to be a trio. I don't want them to break them up, this and that. But I enjoy the friction as long as it doesn't end up with.
Yeah. But the seeds were already planted, like, 2 or 3 months ago when Lana was like, hey, get rid of him.
Yeah.
And what has happened later on, we'll see on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. She's like, hey, you fucked up.
Yeah. Lana kind of berated Aiden English a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I think the conflict is interesting, but I don't want the conflict result to be all of a sudden Aiden and English just bye-bye. I want them to still stay as a unit, but I like the conflict because I just want them to work through the conflict and then become like a better, stronger unit, I guess.
Yes. I'm still trying to wait for someone to mention, go like, what happened to your accent? I want someone to just do it like Kobe Kingston style. Like, what happened to your accent?
Why all of a sudden are you all CJ instead of Lana? Yeah.
Like, what happened to you?
Yeah.
It's like, I got hit in the head, you know, whatever. So the one that I want to talk about.
Yes.
The 30-minute Iron Man match. Oh, my goodness. I loved it. Oh, there you go.
There you go.
30-minute Iron Man match. Went to sudden death. Dolph pulls it out 5-4. And I think that was like the largest amount of pinfall submissions or whatever that's happened for any type of Iron Man match.
Right. At least in WWE, because I'm sure that there's been. Oh, yeah. Hell, maybe even in TNA, there's an Iron Man match that had like a fucking high number.
Well, no one was watching, so it doesn't matter.
Well, no. Back in the day, before TNA, like pre-Hogan, TNA was pretty good.
Don't even get started.
No, we'll get to Hogan later. Nate also agrees in the live chat. He says, love the match between Dolph and Seth. Robert! What's up, Robert? Welcome. Thank you for joining us, sir.
And I agree with you, Robert. That crowd was getting on my nerves. Counting down. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Every minute of that match from like the 20-minute mark on.
No, they started like at 30 minutes.
Oh, did they?
They started that real early. Mm. Real quick.
That was annoying AF.
Like Philly, you should know goddamn better.
Yeah, that ruined what was a really good match in like, look, man, I mean, you don't want Roman as the main event. Okay, they gave you Roman not being the main event. You like guys like Seth and Dolph. Okay, cool. We're going to put Seth and Dolph in the main event. There's people that want to cheer for the mid-card title. And, oh, man, they never treated with respect. And, oh, the Universal Championship is never there. The Intercontinental title is really the big title. It's like, okay, cool. We hear you. We're going to put this match on last because it was deserving to be last. And that is so uncharacteristic of WWE that they actually did the thing that would appease the Smarks. And what did the fucking Smarks do? They shit all over it and it made themselves look bad. And this is why we can't have nice things.
You good now? You can breathe?
Yes.
You all right?
Yes.
All right. Do you want to talk about any of the ladies' matches? Or are you good?
Well, hold on. I'm not actually done about this match.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That was about the crowd, okay? This is definitely a match of the week candidate for me.
Oh, yeah.
It might be my pick. I'm not sure. We need to kind of talk it out. You know, I'm usually the guy that needs to talk it out. Mm-hmm. Arnold and Chris are like, hey, this is my pick.
Just be done with it.
Yeah, but no, I need to be romanced.
Well, I have a match of the week candidate.
Okay.
So you just have to wait and see what that is.
Oh, okay. We will get to that. All right. So as far as the score goes, mm-hmm. I was exceedingly happy when we weren't going to have 4-0 or 3-0 or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I like, okay, there was a couple of dips and valleys in that roller coaster. Oh, yeah. The roller coaster was 0-0, whatever. Oh, 1-0. Okay. 2-0. Oh, 3-0. Oh, got that. Oh, 3-1. Okay, cool. 3-2, 3. Oh, this is interesting. But then when I was like, God damn it, didn't they just do this, but with a more spread out period of time with Sheamus and Cesaro with the best of 7? They went down, or Sheamus went down 3-0. Cesaro came back, tied and surpassed. And all that, they did that because that was supposed to be the hip thing to do because of what happened between the Cavs and the Warriors that year in the NBA Finals, where they were up 3-0 and then LeBron comes back and beats them 4-3. And I was like, God damn, I really don't want this to be 4-3. Then it was 4-4. So that kind of quelled that there. And then the overtime and stuff happened.
But what I did like is the psychology and story being told where Dolph was like, oh, shit. Hey, Scottish Diesel, come here.
Scottish Diesel.
come here. Do my dirty work. Yeah, I'll take the fall. But they ain't going, once they do it, they can't restart it yet. So beat the living shit out of them. Mm-hmm. And then I can get Cap caught up. I like that start part of the story.
Yeah. I think the strategy that Dolph had getting those extra falls to catch up was fucking brilliant. It was a good use of having, well, like you said, Scottish Diesel.
Well, I'm not wrong.
It was a really good heel tactic that you haven't seen. So that little nugget of storytelling in there. And then, of course, at the end, when it was overtime, it was, again, Drew McIntyre coming out because they restarted the match. So he was no longer banned. He came out. Mm-hmm. And that was ultimately the downfall. So you have Seth with a protected loss. But Ziggler looks like a fucking mad genius, you know, coming out of it. It elevated both stars.
Yes, I did enjoy that. And that's why I say it's a candidate for me, but okay. Not my pick.
Not your pick? Okay, we'll save it for later. All right, so a lot of what happened on Extreme Rules bled over to Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
I think those are the only three matches I really want to specify and talk about from Extreme Rules.
Same here.
But like the other stuff, like you said, you want to talk about some of the women. Well, let's talk about the women from Raw.
Okay, so from the women from Raw, we had on Extreme Rules Nia versus Bliss in an Extreme Rules match. And Bliss won by the skin of her teeth. Ronda Rousey was coming in all guns a-blazing because that's what Ronda Rousey do. And kind of, I didn't want to say cost the match for Nia, but I think Nia was already out like on a bit of like chairs or whatever. And then it was it. Like for me, it was sort of kind of forgettable for me, just a little bit.
Sort of forgettable?
Yeah, sort of forgettable. Like it's kind of meh. Like, you did your thing, and Ronda doesn't really know all the aspects of wrestling just yet, or, like, how to mug to the camera, I guess. But, like, it was good for what it was.
Right. I mean, it was... All of Extreme Rules was kind of, like, on cruise control until those other three matches that happened.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there's going to be people saying that it took a bit of a dip between Lashley and Roman, but whatever.
We don't have to talk.
No, we don't, because this is our show. We don't have to talk about it. All right. But okay, spilling over into Raw with the women, the Raw women.
Oh yeah.
You know, the story there at Extreme Rules isn't necessarily Nia and Alexa. The story is Ronda.
Yes.
That's the real story. That's the story that is going to get the mainstream eyes and the UFC eyes on the product.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So like, I can understand why Extreme Rules is kind of an afterthought because. It is.
Yeah, it's just like an appetizer at Applebee's. You really don't want it, but I mean, it's there. I don't like Applebee's. Deal with it. But
did you just call Nia and Alexa not good snacks?
No, I said appetizer.
Okay.
Deal with it.
Because I would say Alexa is a really, really good snack.
Can you calm yourself?
So is Nia.
Can you drink some more water? You might need it. Anyway, going back to Raw, when Ronda Rousey, when Bliss was going on about saying, "I am the champion of all the champions," blah blah blah. Ronda Rousey comes down because she's still not supposed to be there. She's not supposed to be at work. She shows up to work, and she goes all gung ho on Mickey. Mickey dies about five times.
Mickey got spanked apparently.
Like a lot, but she was in shorts, so I guess when you're in shorts, you get spanked. I don't know.
Whatever
works.
I kind of feel like right now the car is in neutral and they're revving their engines on this feud, and it's like, hey, look at all this noise we're making without actually progressing the storyline, and they haven't really started going down the road yet. And you're always telling me. Be patient, because if we're sitting there on the couch watching wrestling, that's stupid. How are they going to do it? And you're always like, be patient. Let them tell the story. You're the story guy. Be patient. I don't know if I could be patient with this right now. I mean, it's just kind of bleh.
Well, we always figured that she was going to go to SummerSlam one way or another. And if you're the marquee girl on the show or marquee woman on the show, then heck, you're going to be on SummerSlam for the title. Just have to figure out a way to get there. And this is what they chose.
Yeah. All right. So that's that.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about the big thing from Raw? Which is the fact that...
Brock Lesnar!
down. Yeah, Brock Lesnar. So, Kurt threatened to strip Brock Lesnar of the Universal title if he either A, didn't show up, B, made arrangements to defend his actual title, or we'll see what are going to strip you. Sable wouldn't like that. Maybe she would. You don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it's cold out there. They got to get warm somehow.
Yeah, they got to. All right. So everybody in the arena is cheering for Brock to get stripped.
Yes.
Of course, that's not what happens. We have Paul Heyman come out. And I'm never not happy. I'm never unhappy to see Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
I really like Paul Heyman. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of people that will say that Bobby Heenan is the greatest manager of all time. And I think there's a strong argument saying Heyman may have surpassed him. I'm not making that argument. I'm going to straddle that fence as best as I can because I love both of these guys as managers. I absolutely adore both of them. But that's just saying how high regard I hold Paul Heyman.
Okay? Why not both?
Why not both? They're 1A, 1B. You know, so seeing Heyman come out and being kind of upset because we know what that means, which is, oh, great, that means we're going to get Lesnar as champion for a little bit longer, kind of feels not right. It just doesn't feel right to not like Paul Heyman. For me, I don't know if I'm the only one that has that problem.
Well, you see, there's a thing called Paul Heyman being a heel.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to like him.
Yeah.
And see, Brock Lesnar's a heel.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to like him.
Yeah.
So it's you're not supposed to like them.
Yeah. Well, see, there was something Heyman said. That's like in that promo, it's like, oh, you guys just really want Brock Lesnar. Yes, we do. Like the only reason why I think the majority of fans treat Brock Lesnar as a heel is just because he hasn't been around. Not because we generally don't like him or don't like him as a wrestler. I want to see Brock Lesnar. I like to see Suplex City. The booking, on the other hand, oh, well, that's a little bit iffy and questionable, especially if he's going up against Roman time after time after time. But, like, the fact that he's not defending the title, I'm not a fan of your main title not being defended.
Yeah.
But I'm still a fan of Brock. I kind of like Brock, you know? So it's like, am I angry at him or am I angry at the situation?
I'm just apathetic about the entire situation. Like, if you show up, all right. If you don't show up, all right. Can we just get the belt back or something? Like, can we have you just show up, like, somewhere at your like, in your house? Braun just shows up at your house, like, no goddamn reason. He's like, oh, look, I got a briefcase. And I got a ref. 24/7 rule. Whee! And then be done.
That's not how the Money in the Bank works.
It's how I want it in my head.
Well, okay.
Let me have my moment.
Well, people can wish in one hand and, you know.
I can give you something in one hand.
Oy.
You're welcome.
Wow. All right. So, but yeah, we officially have a date for Brock Lesnar to defend his title, which is SummerSlam.
SummerSlam.
And then we had all of the quasi-main event and main eventers on Raw come out saying, hey, I want a shot. Regardless of whether or not they won their match the night previously.
Oh, no, yeah.
No, they all said, I deserve it. I'm a loser, but I deserve it.
So should we run down a list of the losers club?
Sure.
You got Lashley?
Lashley. No, Lashley won last night.
Well, okay, well, he's not part of the losers club.
All right, well, the night before.
Yeah.
Well, okay, just the six guys that were out there. Okay, right. Lashley.
Lashley, Scottish Diesel.
Scottish Diesel.
Rollins. Musical Rollins, first Universal Champion, and the guy that he's just there because he's there, Reigns.
All right, so these six guys are all saying that they should be number one contender. Yeah. Kurt kind of says, yeah, y'all all could, even though some of them had just lost the night before.
Yeah.
Whatever, that's weird. And instead of setting up like some sort of multi-man match with all six of them, it's like, we're going to do 2 3-way matches. I was like, okay.
Make it.
Why not?
Just make it the tournament. Maybe they didn't want to have all that.
A gauntlet? Something you can
maybe not have all that man meat in one ring.
Okay. Portia's not a fan of all that man meat.
We'll see.
So we had three matches. Okay, the first was Roman versus Finn versus Elias?
Yes. Okay. Well, no, it wasn't Elias because there was a mirror match between Rollins and Elias.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so who was it? It was Roman, Finn, and...
Roman.
Drew?
Drew, yes.
Drew. Okay, yeah, Drew. Robert Medlin said, acoustic Jesus. That would be Elias. Robert also says, me personally, I could never see Brock in WWE again and I'd be okay.
I'm right with you, Robert.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so that three-way match was cool.
Yeah.
Especially when I was fooled into thinking that maybe Finn actually had a chance and that we were going to see Roman lose two nights in a row.
Nope. Friend of show Bacon was like, you know what? Finn didn't win. I'm turning this off. And she really did.
Oh, Femme Balor.
Yes, Nicole. She was like, she was done.
Yeah, oh, Bacon, a.k.a. Femme Balor. Yeah, she didn't.
Oh, yeah, she was done. She was done that night.
Sad. All right. The match itself was all right.
Yeah.
It was a good showing for Drew, which we need more good showings out of Drew for him to be considered to be in this main event picture.
Yes.
Because they are running the risk of him being Dolph Ziggler's lackey. Or, like you said, Scottish Diesel. That could totally happen, and I don't want that to happen because I think he deserves a little bit better.
Yeah, he does. But right now, he's just Scottish Diesel.
Scottish Diesel. All
right. So then the second three-way match was then Lashley, Rollins, and Elias.
All right. That was another decent match. You know, I would say that both of these matches may be low on the list of Match of the Week candidates. Not that low. Get up. All right. So they were both decent matches. They were fun. Okay. Yeah. So maybe that'll take away a little bit of my criticism of why not put all six of them in one match or whatever. Okay, fine. You had two good matches. Whoop-de-doo. But I think that once Roman won the first one, there was a pit in my stomach. My heart just sunk. Because I knew, fuck, that means Lashley's going to win this other one. And we're going to have Lashley versus Roman 2 for the number one contender. And then Roman's going to win because he just lost part one.
Yes.
So that's going to balance it out. So Roman goes on to fight Lesnar. Great. Roman beats Lesnar. Great. So Lashley versus Roman 3, the rubber match, will be for the Universal title. I'm calling that right now. That's the next 2-3 months worth of booking for WWE right there.
You should be a writer for them.
I guess. But that's not what I want to see.
I know.
I'm writing shit I don't want to happen.
But you're doing well so far. I mean, heck, they just stick column A, column B, column C, mm-hmm. Roman, Lashley, Universal Championship, and just mix them all together because that's what they want to see. That's not what the fans want to see.
True. I mean, at some point, somewhere in there, you got to throw Braun Strowman in there. Because even in that little backstage segment where, was it Renee that was interviewing him?
Yes.
Renee interviewed, it's like, hey, why didn't you go out there? I don't need to go out there. I have this. Like, yeah, he has a point. Why go through five other guys to try to get a number one contendership when he has a number one contendership already in these hands?
These hands?
Well, those hands. His hands.
Oh, those hands.
Not your hands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, I almost forgot. You need to talk about the people that had the whole world in their hands, then they lost it.
Okay, go.
So, like, probably...
Oh, hold on. Before we move away from that subject, hold that thought. Robert Medley says this was Finn's yearly reminder that he was the first Universal Champion who never got beat, and nothing comes of it.
Yep.
God damn it, you're so right, Robert.
Yes. Yeah. He is a broken record. He is a CNSA. When people on the string, the Finn goes, I was afraid she's a Universal Champion.
And I never lost it, so I'm due up my rematch, but he never gets his fucking rematch because he's like, I'm going to earn it. Like, no, you idiot. You don't need to earn it. Be like Braun. Why should you earn it when you already have it rightfully to you?
Yeah, but you know,
whatever.
You stay pretty. You stay pretty. Have Finn. You stay pretty.
Okay, so You want to transition to the Leaders of Worlds?
Yes.
Okay.
They had it, and then they lost it to the B team. The freaking B team. And then throughout the entire rest of the night on Extreme Rules, they were running amok, going, saying like, Roman, you might have a chance. You can be just like us. And that was comedic. That was nice.
It was funny.
Thing. Yeah.
Also, was that the first time ever that a brother beat another brother for a tag team championship in WWE?
Someone fact check real quick. Because like, I'm looking at other things.
Did Matt ever beat Jeff for a tag team title? Like, no. I don't think that ever happened.
I mean, singles title, I believe, yes.
For singles titles, yeah, but for a tag team.
No.
Maybe somebody could pull that out of the annals of time.
But this is Bo Dallas' first championship on the main roster.
True, and he beat his brother for it. That's cool.
He was like, for all those noogies back in the day.
For all those noogies.
Like, and wet willies and those wedgies. Mm-hmm. I got this belt.
Yeah.
But that's all. That's all I wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah. You're just happy that they won?
I'm just happy that
they won. Like, yeah, they won. Yeah, what did they do on Raw? I don't even remember.
Oh, gosh. Well, let's see. I don't even remember what they did on Raw, to be truthful, because they were being goofy, and that's fine with me, because they were just goofballs. Let's just go to the next thing.
All right, next thing. Yeah, there we go. We just petered out of that one.
Oh, wait. We can talk about how Sasha can't quit Bayley.
I can't quit you.
Yeah, they had a tag team match on Raw after so many weeks of therapy. And pretty much Kurt saying, like, if y'all can't figure this crap out, one of y'all's going to SmackDown.
Which isn't a fucking punishment.
No, it's not.
Why was he saying that in a threatening manner? Well, one of you is going to go to SmackDown. So one of you is going to be on the show that's, you know, the same as this except blue. Like, okay, that's not a fucking punishment. You're still going to get paid. You're still being viewed amongst thousands of people in an arena, millions of people across the world. You're still going to be on pay-per-views. And, like, especially now that the pay-per-views are dual-branded, like, that's not a fucking punishment, guys.
No, it's not. I just let them feud. That's all I want. Just let them have their feud at SummerSlam. Don't try to, like, make it all wonky by, like, I love you. Please let me touch your hair. Like, we don't need any of that.
Man, okay. All right. So again, me being the story guy, I kind of like the fact that they're going somewhere with this story. I like the fact that we're finally shifted into a different gear where they had been this entire time, which was, I don't like you. I don't like you. Well, I do like you, but you don't like me. Well, why don't you? Like, I'm glad they finally kind of laid everything out on the table. And they said their I love yous to each other. And yes, this could totally be strictly platonic, you know, besties, you know, I love you, this and that, right?
Yeah.
But it could not be.
And you're so hoping it can't.
I'm just going to drink my water because I'm thirsty. Okay, Nate, yeah, or excuse me, not Nate. Yeah, Nasty Nate, you're right. Okay, yeah, SmackDown is better than Raw. Yeah, I get it in some respects, but as an employee of WWE, I wouldn't really give a fuck. You know, I mean, yeah, okay. As a fan, I could say, oh yeah, I like SmackDown better than I like Raw. Okay. But like, especially in kayfabe, that's not a fucking punishment. Anyway,
yeah.
Okay. So anyway, back to the Lesbos.
What?
So, could this be a thing? Like, could those L words that they were throwing around be more than just like, hey, we're friends, and be more like, I'm mad at you as a friend because you kept me in the friend zone and I've been wanting to smash this entire time? Could that be what the hell's going on here? Am I reading too much into it? Is it too much hopeful thinking?
Well, there have been rumors stating that they are trying to figure out a storyline where they can have either a lesbian or gay relationship somehow play out. And the whole thing with Finn, with the whole, the Battle Club is for everybody, that was the start. Mm-hmm. And then I know you mentioned it, saying that, like, if this does turn out to be a storyline, then, why can't I think of that woman's name?
Sonya.
Yeah, Sonya was just like,
Sonya could be like, the fuck, guys? Why are you giving them my storyline?
Like,
Sonya and Mandy could told, like, it's already built in. You got the the little bit more butchy one in Sonya, and then the super beautiful lipstick lesbian Mandy, and they're already together. Like, and you know what? Freaking Sonya's a lesbian in real life. So, and she already got the gear and stuff. Like, why didn't they go through with it when they could have, when they could stroke while the iron was hot with Titus's former tag team partner, Darren Young?
Yes.
They could have done that, but no, they swept it under the rug, and then they wound up giving the shit to Finn. Like, all right, is this what they're trying to do? Like, oh, yeah, you could have had the thing there with Sonya, but we're going to give it to Sasha and Bayley. Like, I don't know, man. It's just it seems kind of weird.
Yeah, but it is what it is, and then we'll see what happens if they kiss next week. So, wishful thinking, guys.
Oh, God. They fucking kiss. They fucking kiss. All right, whatever.
Okay, I'm done with Raw. Can we talk about SmackDown?
Yeah, let's talk about SmackDown.
Okay, yay, SmackDown. Okay, so the SmackDown.
Lesbo freakins. That's what Nasty Nate said.
Oh, my God.
Lesbo freakins.
Probably the best match on SmackDown was CN versus Styles.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
They had a nice back and forth. Zelina being all Zelini. And I keep on forgetting how tiny she really is.
She's itty bitty.
Yeah, because like AJ Styles, he's not a tall man. I don't believe. And then there's Zelina.
He's taller than us.
Oh. Heck, I'm taller than some people as well.
Yeah.
So, there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I enjoyed that match. Like, it told a good story. It's kind of showcasing him, because that match with Sin Cara on the pre-show, it really didn't showcase both that well. It only showcased maybe CN, all right?
Which, from what I heard, because I didn't watch the pre-show. I'm sorry, I didn't. But from what I heard, that match was terrible between Sin Cara and CN Almas. But the match on SmackDown the week before was fucking great. So I don't know if people were just being overly critical because of Sin Cara, or if it really was that bad. And why was their second match so bad when their first one was... Oh, man, that just kind of frustrates me, because I kind of had a glimmer of hope that maybe Sin Cara turned the corner, and the corner that he turned was with CN. Because I remember in NXT for the longest time, CN was like an afterthought. It's like, CN's whatever. Then he had that amazing fucking match with Drew, and then people were like, you know, he had a couple of good matches before, and they kind of retroactively said, he ain't that bad. This match proves he's really not that bad. This match proves he's really good. And then he had a couple of more really good matches after that. So, man, I kind of want to root for everybody in a slight way. But
well, yeah, because you don't want people to lose their livelihood over anything. You want to make sure everyone does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people just don't. And then you're just like, why are you here?
Robert Menlin says, I love the chilling on the ropes gimmick. I do too. That's pretty cool when he does that.
You're supposed to do it at the same time with me, you jerk.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, we're done with that.
I think he may have meant when he catches himself in the ropes.
Yeah.
Like, not on the top corner. When
I know.
Both work, I guess.
I know what he's talking about.
Okay.
It's called synchronicity.
All right.
Ugh.
Man.
Right.
What else happened on SmackDown?
They're finally starting the Daniel Bryan Miz storyline for SummerSlam. I'm so happy. I can't wait.
Yes.
Let them fight.
Yes.
So much fighting.
Yes.
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 Yes. And also just in time for the premiere of Miz and Mrs.
Yes. All right. I hope that this is in earnest the start of this redo of this feud.
Yeah.
I would be a little disappointed, but not surprised if it was just a tease. Just planting seeds, and we don't actually get it until like fucking Mania or some bullshit.
Oh no, it's going to happen. It has to. I will flip tables everywhere.
Porsche has doth decreed.
It's my decree. I do decree all day, every day. It needs to happen.
Yeah.
SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
All the yesing. Heck, involve the babies somehow. Like, just have like Birdie, and the other. I can't remember the goddamn baby's name. Monroe.
Mrs. Monroe. Like Monroe Sky, I think.
Yes, have Birdie and Monroe just like, man, it's like play patty cake, but like violently. I don't know.
You want to see babies fight?
I've seen babies fight. It was hilarious.
World Star.
No.
Okay.
Just go at each other.
God damn. All right. Underground baby fighting club.
Hey, whatever works to get you money.
Well, God. That totally threw me off track. Where the hell were we? I don't even know. Okay, yeah, Miz and Dang O'Brien. They're starting. I hope they're really starting in earnest.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Oh, yeah. And then, Becky finally is getting her, looks like she's going to try and get her title shot next
Yay,
week.
Yay, Becky. Good for Becky.
Becky needs a win.
Becky does need a win.
So the thing is, like, and I know you've said it as well, it's annoying. And yeah, I can see why it's annoying. Hey, we're going to have you beat the champion in a non-title match.
Yeah.
So that you can try and beat the champion again in a title match.
Ooh. I hate that so fucking much.
Yeah, it's annoying and mm-hmm. just, yeah, they can figure out other ways to talk about it. What's up?
Nasty Nage is saying crack baby fights. God damn it.
No, that's on WorldStar.
That's on WorldStar. Crack baby fights.
All the crack baby fights. Oh. Yeah, but if Becky Balboa is now that they're calling her.
She actually said that about herself. She referred to herself as Becky Balboa.
She really likes Rocky a whole damn lot, apparently. So. She likes Rocky and Kenoa. That's all she wants in her life.
Hey, Kenoa could be good.
Mm-hmm. That's why Arnold's not here, because Kenoa.
Yeah. We had Kenoa tonight, Arnold, so.
Oh, and last but not least, off of SmackDown, probably the most, like, thing that made, like, even made, like, a child, like, very, very upset.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So, in Extreme Rules.
Okay.
Okay, go back to Extreme Rules.
Let's back up just a little.
Let's back up.
Yeah.
Back up. Okay. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jeff Hardy U.S. title match.
Not bad.
For 2 seconds, because on Extreme Rules, he just went ahead and just, not Kinshasa him, but, you know, boop, boop.
Can low blow them.
Before the match even started, can't really disqualify him. The match hasn't started yet.
Yep.
And then pins him to become new U.S. champ. So that happened. Then, all of a sudden, Randy Orton comes back. We don't know why. He just appeared out of nowhere, because that's what he do, out of nowhere.
And presumably, he was giving Shinsuke the stink eye. And in the process of giving Shinsuke the stink eye, Jeff Hardy was in the ring. So, he's just the Viper, you know. So he does stuff like that, where he's like, hey, You, the heel? Yeah, the heel. To intimidate you, heel, outside the ring, I'm going to beat up this helpless bystander babyface who just happens to be in proximity. So stomp on the nuts. Yes. So it was like, okay.
So I feel like anything you can do, I can do better.
Right. So, but then the story kind of took a bit of a turn on SmackDown. So he presumably... Randy Orton wasn't really trying to intimidate the heel on the outside, Shinsuke. No. He was presumably really trying to get at Jeff Hardy's ball bag. And he really wanted to beat Jeff up, because he beat Jeff up for no reason on SmackDown.
No, not only the ball bag, but also the handles, apparently. Yes. And that was
gross. Yeah, okay. So, that was gross. We had some friends' kids over last night. We were watching SmackDown, because they watch SmackDown too. They're all our wrestling friends.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be PG. Remember this. PG.
Poor little girl. What is, she's 8?
She's 7.
7. Poor little 7-year-old girl. saw Jeff Hardy, or excuse me, Randy Orton stick his finger in Jeff Hardy's gauge hole and yank. And that made me wince. That made, God. But there was 7-year-old so-and-so watching, and she was inconsolable for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, it was like, oh, no. I was like, thanks, WWE. Thanks. Now I have to try and work with her. She might need therapy now because of y'all. Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. But that did look brutal. I mean, once you, like, you know, got over to the initial shock of what he was about to do. You know, it was like, okay, of course, it was like, you know, wrestling, because, you know, you have a gauge like that, you have your gauge out of there, you could elasticize it just a little bit.
Yeah.
As long as you don't, like, rip it completely out. But you saw Randy Orton kind of had the back of the ear. So he was just kind of pulling on it, selling it, and so was Jeff. So they were safe, they were fine.
Yes.
But, oh man, the visual was not. I wasn't ready.
No one was ready.
I wasn't ready.
That was the Asuka of things that happened.
Yeah.
Since she wasn't there that night,
yeah.
We had an Asuka in there.
And, oh, well, it reminds it even a little bit more. So Jeff, who's not with Matt right now currently, is in on a different show, is still trying to bring back the Broken Woken stuff along with him, which, as far as we've seen on WWE TV, we haven't seen Brother Nero. We haven't seen the Obsolete Mule. We've just kind of seen him
face paint.
Yeah, face paint and pop up during the was it Ultimate Deletion that they did here? Yeah, just pop up just for like a cameo and that was it. So like we don't have any context as just if somebody that only watched WWE, we don't have any context as for any of the stuff that he's trying to tease and say, oh hey, now I'm part of the old broken stuff from TNA too. Now, of course, me being somebody who watched all the broken stuff in TNA, I'm kind of happy to see it, but I hope that doesn't confuse some of the WWE filthy casuals. You know?
They'll have to understand, too. I think the casuals understand, like, oh, they're brothers.
Jeff got fingered.
Yes, he did. they're on the same, even though they're not in the same brands, they're still in the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
So if for some reason, whenever there's a pay-per-view, even though I don't understand why they didn't come and help him out at the pay-per-view because they were there. Like, hey. But hey, they're there. This is the same universe. They can do broken and obsolete and classify and all that good shit. Like, heck, do it. Why not?
Okay.
Yeah, but I think, are we done with WWE?
I think so. You want to move on to NXT?
Yay! NXT.
All right, NXT. I'm going to need help on this one.
Okay.
I just watched it the other day, but I had such a crazy day.
Yeah, I would like to call this episode The Undisputed Era versus the Brits. Because it was sandwiched with The Undisputed Era versus the goddamn Brits.
This is true, yes.
So the first match was Adam Cole versus Danny
Baby. Burch.
Yeah, oh, thank you, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I should have paused. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Adam Cole.
Baby!
Thank you. Versus Adam Burch. It was a good back and forth. Lots of
Danny Burch.
Did I say Daniel?
You said Adam Burch.
I'm tired, man. You gotta let me be. Danny Burch.
Danny Burch.
But yeah, they had a good back and forth. It was very kind of catch as catch can. Yeah, I can say it, right? Catch as can. And it was just to kind of put it all out there. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. And, you know, Adam Cole being Adam Cole,
mm-hmm.
being an asshole that he is, he just kind of rubbed it in his face at the end. So I liked it.
Yeah,
it was good.
It was nice. Also, Kairi Sane versus Vanessa Bourne was nice.
Mm-hmm. But before that, though.
I want to say one quick thing about Vanessa Bourne.
Yes.
I really want Vanessa Bourne to be more than just a jobber.
Yes.
I think she has, like, this look that is kind of different from everybody else, even though it's kind of not that different. And, like, we've kind of seen maybe in the past more of divas dressed with just wrestling lingerie.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, all the other girls, all the other women wrestlers, they have, like, the booty shorts with the bra top, and, like, that's it. And she's kind of got, like, this throwback lingerie kind of thing.
Oh, what was Katrina's name before she was Katrina?
Maxine?
Yes, it throws back to Maxine.
Yeah, it's a little throwback to Maxine, but it's also, like, she's just, it kind of sets her apart. I guess that's all I'm trying to say. It sets her apart just a little bit, and she's attractive.
Well, someone has to be the jobber, and you have to be the sex.
Does.
And if you happen to be the sex pot jobber, then be the sex pot jobber. That's your role in life right now.
Okay, so she's a sexy jobber.
Yes.
Aye, papa.
Yeah, but then, well, before then, there was the altercation between Candice LeRae and Shayna Baszler, pretty much saying, why don't you take care of your man? Because your man got issues.
And then
fight.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And that's setting up a four way now.
Yes, but before that, there was Dakota Kai versus Dakota Kai talking smack to Lacey Evans. Lacey Evans looking awesome, and because I like vintage retro gear.
Oh yeah.
And I love the outfit. No one else is going to talk about outfits on this show except for me. So I'm taking it as much as I can.
I just got done talking about an outfit.
But retro outfits from like
1920s
and 30s.
Okay.
With the hat. She looked like she's about to go to church.
She had her best church hat on.
And then I think that's going to lead to them having a match next week.
She about to go gossip with Miss Odell.
Stop. Oh, you broke it.
I broke thingy.
There you go. All right. And then after the Vanessa Bourne, Sissa Bevan, match with Kairi Sane, then Kairi says, like, I want to be in the hunt for the title, blah, 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 which leads to the Fatal 4-Way. Fatal 4-Way announcement between Sane, Cross, LeRae, and the new newlywed Belair.
Newlywed Belair.
She is
newlywed, yeah.
So, yeah. So, that's going to be number one contender for next week.
Tonight, right?
Yeah, so when it's happening tonight right now.
Well, it happened an hour ago.
Yeah, an hour ago. So, there's a match. There's a number one contender now. I don't know who it is because we didn't watch it.
Right.
Because
we were busy trying to set this up.
Yes. Right. So,
we're always 1 week behind on NXT.
I know. It's sad.
But our viewers know that.
Yes. Yeah. And after that, there is an NXT championship announcement between Black and Ciampa for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
From last week. So that means next week.
Next Wednesday.
And then there was an awesome interview segment with Black. Then Gargano, being Dark Gargano, was like, you have to kill Ciampa. Kill him. Kill him. Do it.
And then Ciampa killed him.
Yes, killed Black.
You should have listened to him. You should have killed me. Like, oh shit, goddamn. But I kind of had this feeling that it was a little bit too herk jerk, but typical of WWE to have Ciampa just go and forget about Johnny for a while and then feud. But I'm really glad that they're not just like, okay, well, this is what's happening between these two and then that's it. Mm-hmm. They're kind of including Gargano in this, and Gargano's not in the match, but he's still kind of involved in the story.
Yes.
And Ciampa's like, I'm done with him. I'm on to this new thing. Mm-hmm. But there's still a story there. There's still beef there. And I feel like it's all getting mixed together, and I like it.
I got a prediction.
What's that?
My prediction is that somehow, some way, Gargano is going to be involved in that match. Make it into either a three-way, or they're going to just make it to where, like, sorry, Ciampa lost. You had your chance. Ciampa versus Gargano 3, your match. Loser leaves town or some shit.
Well, what I was thinking was going to happen was you're going to drag that out even further. So at this next match, when we have Ciampa versus Black, Gargano is going to insert himself in the match and get a DQ or no contest out of it. And then that's when, you know, oh, hey, you know, I should, you know, wrestle again. Like Ciampa or Black or whatever, they're like, oh, we still need to have our match, blah, blah, blah. And then somehow Gargano weasels his way in. And then the next match is where we're going to have like a three-way. And
because we got a takeover coming soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somehow we need to get all three of these guys in the ring at the same time. Yes. I want that to happen because I think that would just be fucking gold. That would be a really good. That might be one of the best three ways since Styles Joe Daniels.
that might be one of the best three ways since Wild Things. It's a movie. Look it up.
What?
Wild Things. It's a movie. Look it up.
Okay.
References. I'm so glad that I'm here so I can say pop culture references that you don't know about. Yay.
So when's Arnold and Chris coming back?
Shut up. I'm here now.
All right. Wow. So main event time.
Yay, main event. We have Strong and O'Reilly versus Seven and Bate, the master of all.
Mustache Mountain versus Undisputed Era for the NXT Tag Team Championships.
Yes.
Now, you know how I was saying that I thought I had a match of the week?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the other match that is competing in my mind for match of the week. Oh, okay. This tag team match. This, oh man, it is, the way it ended is what does it for me. Of course, the match leading up to the ending was really great. All the crazy spots that all four of these guys can do was amazing.
All the near falls.
But the story.
Yes.
Oh, my God. The story.
The father figure in Tyler's life. And then he has to choose, like, do I want him to try and do it? Or do I make sure that he doesn't get hurt? Because, God, Jordan, if he gets hurt, that's it for him.
And at the expense of the tag team titles, something that they, you know, got and they're very proud to have. Even though it was just for a short reign, like it was just a budding reign, and it's like, oh, hey, wow, these guys all of a sudden are the NXT Tag Team Champs. Yeah. It's like, do I throw that away, you know, to save my trainer?
Yes.
You know, oh, God, it was so good.
And then the tried and true, yet not used often, throwing in the towel bit.
Right. I honestly, I'm not exaggerating with this. Mm-hmm. I think this was the best storyline use of the throw in the towel bit that I've ever seen.
Ever?
Ever. All the other throw in the towel bits, they're just whatever. Or, oh, they had Martha Hart come over here and throw it in. Or no, it was Helen.
Yeah,
Helen Hart throw it in.
And I was over, like, and then.
Yeah, and it was kind of lame or whatever. But like this, you saw the internal struggle of Tyler Bate deciding whether or not he should do that. And meanwhile, you had Trent Seven like saying, no, don't do it. It was almost that, like, the tension and the body language that you saw out of these guys almost rivaled, and I know I'm saying a mouthful here when I say this, almost rivaled that pantomime story that you got from Ric Flair versus HBK at Mania. The I'm sorry, I love you. Like, that is the kind of vibes I was getting from this. Like, no, I could do it. I could hold on. I just got to figure out a way to get out of this hold. You've been in that hold for goddamn 30 years. I'm going to throw in this towel. No, you're going to cost us the championship. I know. I don't care about the championship. You, my wrestling daddy. Ugh. Like, oh, goddamn. It was so fucking good. So good.
Yeah, I do agree. It's definitely a match week candidate for me. But yet, still my match week.
It's not your match of the week?
Mm.
Wow.
I know. I had to choose.
Okay.
But I chose another one.
Oh, my God. And we're not even there yet.
No, we're not.
Oh, shit.
Ew.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah.
Well, after talking about it, I kind of want to make this match my pick. Mm-hmm. But, ooh, man. I don't know. I think the wrestling in and of itself was a little bit more solid. And with the Iron Man match, and, you know, it was obviously longer because NXT main events, a little bit shorter, this and that. The wrestling itself was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
But I just want to gush over the story, and I think the story is making them, like, neck and neck almost. But unless you have anything else to say about that, we can move on to something, because I already gushed as much as I'm going to gush.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I've said my piece about it. Like, and I think it's good. Like, it's a match week candidate, but yet not a pick. Because you have to go to one another place.
Okay, well, let's go.
You want to know what that place is?
Where is it?
Lucha Underground!
That was kind of loud, but okay.
Sorry.
All right, Lucha Underground. So again, what was the episode title here?
Sacrificio.
Well, I meant of our show. Oh. But yeah, it was...
Let the bodies hit the floor.
Well, it was something body count. I don't even remember what it was. Elevated body count. That's what it was. Yes, there's an elevated body count.
So many bodies are.
Okay, so Porsche, you said that you wanted to debut kind of a new segment here. What are your own segments that you want to bring here to HWR? What was the title of that segment?
I didn't have a title just yet.
Okay,
I just call it They Dead Now.
They Dead Now. They with dead Portia now. Anderson. They Dead Now.
They Dead Now.
Yeah.
So if we go back just for this season alone.
Just this season.
Just this season alone.
Season 4.
Yes, season 4. Dario, Jeremiah, Phoenix, Mr. Spectacular. The first match from this episode that we're going to talk about, Cortez Castro versus Matanza. Yes, sorry. Matanza. Cortez was sacrificed with the quickness. And because he was sacrificed, dead.
As far as we know, now, okay. Yes, Lucha Underground has a history of killing people off. I don't know if I'm willing to say that these people that were sacrificed because the lights went off and then they came back on are dead, because this is Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
They disappeared. So they could be existing on some other plane where the gods exist and they weren't killed.
Sacrifice. You know?
I know, but like, I'm just basically leaving enough room for mysticism. And I think some of that might also apply to Phoenix and Jeremiah, because they didn't die in the way that some of these other people on the show died. They were just stuck in the coffin and rolled away. But we still don't know exactly what the fate of Phoenix is, because we know that the plans were by Katrina that, I'm going to use this life force to give myself
life. And she did that.
Presumably.
She changed into a red freaking dress after she sucked up his life.
Presumably. We didn't see her suck up his life.
Yes, she did.
Okay.
She, like, sucked up the life. She was in her black outfit. And then all of a sudden, pa-dow, all red, everything.
And I, mama. She was looking damn good.
Yes, and she gave her coin to freaking Melissa, saying, like, I don't need this anymore. Uh-huh. Here you go.
That's true. But what if the coin houses the soul of Phoenix? And maybe now that Melissa has the soul, she's going to, you know, maybe like resurrect him or something. Maybe he's not dead. Maybe he's living, but in that thing. Because the whole thing with Matanza was that, his soul was in that key. It's like a fucking Horrocrux. There's Horrocruxes in fucking Lucha Underground. So it's like, not until you break the key is Matanza's soul or his humanity gone, and now he's a god. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
Because it's not a wrestling show, it's a TV show, god dang it.
I guess so.
By the way, Cortez is sacrificed.
Cortez was sacrificed. And then, the lights went off and they came back on and he was gone.
He did. Then next match, we'll get back to the dead list. I'm going to go in chronological
order. Robert Medlin, is his soul in her baby? Oh, God, that'd be so crazy. A living Horrocrux.
Okay, so before we get to the last person that's dead, we gotta talk about the other matches that happened.
Okay.
Ivelisse versus Joey Ryan for one of the Aztec medallions.
Right, that was good.
Yes.
That was real good.
Joey Ryan was Joey Ryaning as usual.
Yes.
Ivelisse was Ivelisseing because she wasn't having that bullshit. Mm-hmm. And she won. She got an Aztec medallion, so that was cool. The next match, which I consider my match of the week candidate for
candidate or pick?
Pick. Sorry.
This is your pick.
This is my pick.
Okay.
This is my pick.
Okay.
The Mac versus Son of Havoc versus Killshot. Now, the good thing, the wonky thing about this match is that whoever was pinned or whoever was submitted, they didn't get an Aztec medallion. So you could be second runner up of the match and still get a medallion.
Mm-hmm.
So all the back and forth between Mac and Killshot and Son of Havoc, all of them doing their things and whatnot. And then at the very end of the match, when Havoc is down and prone, and then Mac makes sure that Killshot is down and prone, he has to go like, oh no, what do I do? Do I pick the new guy? Or do I pick Killshot that's been kind of an ass lately?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, sorry, Killshot.
You ass?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, and Killshot's pissed at everybody right now.
Which, by the way, they're still the trio's champs.
Yes.
They're still a unit that's going to have to defend their title. Now, normally, I would say, wow, this is really good storytelling.
Yes.
But I want to pump the brakes on this just a little bit, because Lucha Underground, with the trio's titles, has kind of run that trope right into the ground with the trio's champs who don't really get along, but they got to kind of get along anyway, and then they wind up getting along in the end. Like, that's been almost every single trio's champ that they've had, right?
I believe so. Wait, yeah.
Well, no, except for the Cobra Tribe. They were always all... No, because Drago was in that, and Drago didn't want to be in the Cobra Tribe, but then he got brainwashed or whatever. So, so...
Wait, was World Underground never Trios Champions? I think they were.
I think it was the tall guy from South Africa. What was it? Angelico. Angelico with the other two that wound up joining the Worldwide Underground, and then they had, like, friction and tension, and then Angelico left the Worldwide Underground. And it was before they were calling them the Worldwide Underground, too. It was before that.
Oh, so much backstory. Good lord.
Yeah. Shit. I hope I got that right and I didn't fuck that up. Robert, I'm sure you'll correct me.
Robert, please correct them. That'll make my day.
Yeah.
But I think that's my match of the week pick. That's personally for me because he had a Sophie's choice.
He did.
He had a Sophie's choice. Go with the person that you know, go with the person that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And he went with the person that you don't know.
Yeah. And that's just going to create a little bit more tension with their dynamic. And then what's going to happen when the Gift of the Gods match actually rolls around and like, okay, well, we got two of the trio's champs in the match.
Oh, Killshot's going to fuck everything up for him. I know. I already know that.
Okay. All right. So who do we have so far to have medallions? Ivelisse, Son of Havoc, the Mac. Who won it?
Last week.
Oh, it was supposed to be King Cuerno, right?
Yeah, Queen Cuerno.
Is that all of them?
Yeah, there should only be like three more, I believe.
Robert Mendes says, not pretty sure that's the story. Thank you, Robert.
Okay.
All right. So I think we just have four. There's supposed to be eight?
There's seven.
Seven.
I believe there's seven.
Seven.
Okay. So we're going to get to the next... Next, Aztec medallion match. Mil Muertes versus Cage.
Yeah.
That was just hard hitting as hell.
Oh, man.
So many hits.
Cage and Mil Muertes. When I saw that that was going to happen, I got excited right then and there. I was like, this match is going to wreck shop. And that's exactly what happened.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You don't get too many dirty finishes in Lucha Underground.
Mm-hmm.
You have crazy ass stories that like stupid shit happens in Lucha Underground. But as far as like having DQs and shit like that, that doesn't happen very often. Most of the time, because whichever Cueto is in charge likes to be lenient with the rules and instructs the referees to let them beat each other up a little bit with chairs. Yeah, let them do that in the because they like violence.
Yay, violence.
But I was genuinely surprised and taken aback. I was fucking swerved when Pentagon Dark, Cero Miedo, showed up in the middle of that match and like, no Cage, where's my lunch money? And just like beat the living shit out of Cage while Cage was like trying to wrestle Mil Muertes, which in and of itself is a tall task.
And from what I heard is that like, he was, like, literally hiding in the crowd. He was standing in line, like, everyone else, like, waiting to get into the temple itself so that no one would know that was him. So he was just hanging out with his people in like, the little mask that he had on.
Yeah.
Then when he was ready, he was like, ha, Seth is me.
Da-da-da. Yeah. Da-da-da. That's exactly how he did it, too. That's
exactly how he did it.
Yeah.
True story.
I also really like the promo that the Pentagon cut.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, for those of us with the benefit of understanding Spanish, we're able to, not worry about the subtitles because the subtitles were pretty much spot on this time. But sometimes with Pentagon, the subtitles are not quite right.
Yeah.
But this time it was close enough. Basically, Pentagon was like, fuck you, dude. You know what? You don't need an Aztec medallion. I'm going to kick your ass anyway. And I'm going to put my title on the line because you know why? Because fuck you, that's why. And it was like Pentagon's a legit badass. And he's like, I'll defend my title just because you pissed me off. Like, he is not running from anyone. And I fucking love it.
Oh, but did you catch the one thing? This is going back to Katrina and them.
Okay.
You notice that Merwin Huertas was like, come hither.
Yes, 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 do the lick of death.
It's like, no, bitch, I don't want to do that. I'm alive.
And then she kind of licked her own hand?
Yeah.
Or licked her finger or something and then just pointed it at Mil and Mil's like, you just fucking licked me from afar? Am I going to be dead? Wait, what happened?
Because she's got them alive. Keep on telling you this.
I know, but he doesn't know that. But does he know that?
No, he doesn't know that she's alive.
And then that raises more questions. Well, what is and has been the relationship between Mil and Katrina? Like, is Katrina just manipulating him? And if so, why? Like, and why is Mil putting up with her? Like, and it's not a romantic relationship. We thought it was at first, but now it's like, no, I don't think there's,
And I can't remember why she became... Stop. I can't remember why she's annoyed with him. Because I know last season she was like, I'm done with you, but I gotta stay with you. Fuck this noise. And I can't remember why.
Yeah. Which fucking backstory.
There's so much, like, There's so many layers.
Yeah. Robert Midler says, my match of the week pick. Robert, I need a little clarification. Are you talking about the Cage versus Mill match or the triple threat match?
Yes. But going while we're waiting for him, we're going to get to the last segment of the show.
Yes.
Yes. So, all last season, Paul London and his group, the Rabbit Tribe, mm-hmm. were just following little Mascarita Sagrada around. Thank you.
Mascarita Sagrada.
I'm going to get it right one day.
Uh-huh.
They're following him around.
Like, oh, you don't have to get it right anymore.
Oh, womp womp. He just it's like, hey, you the right rabbit? You the white rabbit, right? Can you be the right rabbit? And it's like, no, but I can take you to him. And then they disappeared. And now they've reappeared after these five episodes now.
Mm-hmm.
And, Saltador? Saltador.
See.
He finally talked. And he was a posh British man for some reason.
Which was like, what the fuck?
I was checking that voice, but okay then.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
But
I forget the other one's name, the guy with the...
I know his name, I know.
Mal suerte.
Yes.
Bad luck.
Yes.
Yeah, mal suerte.
Yeah, they all go in, they all...
Oh, Robert was saying Cage versus Mil Muertes is his match of the week.
Oh, okay.
So we have like matches of the week coming from all different angles.
Everywhere.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
All right, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. But then... they go in, they see the white rabbit.
Right.
And the white rabbit, who happens to be this new guy on Impact Wrestling. And yes, I still watch Impact Wrestling because I hope the best for them mm-hmm. some days. His name is Killer Cross in the indie scene, but he's the white rabbit there. Okay. He pretty much tells Paul London, like, hey, I can tell you all the secrets that you ever want to know, but you need to off the guy that brought you here. And everyone's like, wait, what? Well, you want us to do what to, you mean to him? Well, I mean, all right. So his white rabbit cane floats over to Paul London and is like, sorry, boy. And like just goes laying waste to Mascarita Sagrada.
Blood splatters and all.
And Paul London is just happy all about it.
And he had those fucking like goggles like he was on fucking Nickelodeon trying to get splatted on. And it was like, nope. Blood of a little person, whack, sploosh, holy shit. Now, okay, all of my misgivings about whether or not Cortez Castro's really dead or Mr. Predict because he just disappeared and came back. No, Mascarita Sagrada is dead. Like
they did now.
Like you can't have that much blood splatter come back and have him like survive.
Yeah,
no. Like sure, we didn't see the carcass. So, all right, fine. You know, we didn't see the carcass. But, like, if he whacked him that good and that hard that much blood came back splashing at you, he dead. Yeah. I'm sorry, he dead.
Yeah, he did. Well, I mean, there's so many people that we haven't seen in freaking Lucha Underground that are still missing. And we're pretty sure they're dead.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Rey Mysterio is still over at the old temple.
Yeah.
Like, just bones now.
Conan's dead.
Conan's dead.
Was Conan the first?
Yeah, Conan was the first.
Conan was the first to get off.
Big Rick was the second, but it was in the comic book, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there might be...
Rick got killed off in the comics?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and if you look at this throne of skulls on the comic book,
yeah.
Like you see Big Rick's skull.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Really? Still there.
Elevated body count. God damn. Okay.
Yeah, so that's season 4 so far of Who is Dead. You got 6 people dead. I'm very doubtful about Dario. I think Dario's just trying to fool everybody.
Hey, I think Dario is really Antonio, but he's like playing it off like, oh, I faked my own death and now I'm my dad.
Yep.
Like, no, I don't know. There's a lot of fucking interesting fan stories out there with that too. All right. So that's that. Mm-hmm. Do we want to talk a little bit?
News?
A little bit about news. I think the biggest news thing is Hulk Hogan.
Ugh.
So Hogan was rumored to come back at
Extreme Rules,
but he didn't really come back at Extreme Rules. But there was like a lot of
backstage.
Yeah, backstage stuff that came out. And it's like I said, I watched Extreme Rules late. So as I'm watching the show, I'm like, okay, this is where Hogan's coming out. This is where Hogan's coming out. He never came out. But people were making a big fuss about Hogan. I was like, I finished Extreme Rules. There's no Hogan. What the fuck actually happened? So please, what actually happened?
Well, the story is that he came back. He was apologizing to everyone in both locker rooms, both SmackDown and Raw, explaining his actions and how he was wrong in all aspects of what he did, because he knew what he did. And that was that. And I'm pretty sure the reason why they did not bring Hulk Hogan out into the public just yet, because he would have been booed out of that entire building.
Well, that building was already fucking stupid as hell, but yeah. So yeah. Who knows? You couldn't predict the way Pittsburgh was that night.
Yeah. But what's interesting is that the New Day, as a collective whole, put out a statement, but mainly it was Kofi that made the statement first, and right. both Big E and Xavier retweeted it.
Mm-hmm.
Kofi was saying, like, yeah, you know, he did what he did. We're not going to forgive him, but we're going to live our lives and do our jobs. And if he tries to come at us, like, I don't give a shit. Fuck him.
Yeah. Now, but that was also after Titus had already said something, right? Titus said something?
I did not see Titus's response. Did you? What did he say?
I thought Titus did say something, but I could be mistaken. I don't know. But all right. So Hogan is basically trying to get back into the good graces with the WWE. And I'm assuming with WWE's upper management's blessing, this seems to be like a backstage PR thing to get all the rest of the people of the company on board. I think yeah. Vince is like, hell yeah, come on back, brother. Like, I don't care, you know, but I don't know. At least it's the feeling, the vibe I'm getting from the situation. I'm just trying to read between the lines here.
Apparently, like, a majority of the black wrestlers are just like, dude, the fuck. So yeah. They're all just kind of like, we don't really want him here, but you want him here apparently, but we're just going to go over here. If he tries to come speak to us, we'll just walk the other way because we don't want to deal with that.
Yeah. And it's a messed up situation all around. Yeah. it's really bad because like, this is almost at Benoit levels without
the killing.
Without the consensus of everybody involved. Yeah. Like, everybody involved is like, man, that really sucks. We can't talk about Benoit, but we get it. He killed his family and himself.
Yeah.
You know, there's no excusing that. Mm-hmm. But then with this Hogan thing, it's kind of like the same thing. Hey, it really sucks that we don't get to talk about Hogan, but we kind of get it because he's racist. But that's only like half the people that care about that. The other half of the people are like, so what? I agree with them. You know, it's like, well, shit, you know? So like, that kind of leaves a little bit of that door open for higher-ups or whoever's up the food chain to say, you know what? Yeah, let's bring them back. And, oh, the rest, they'll deal. You know? It's like Roger Goodell. Oh, yeah, they'll deal. We'll just make sure that they either come out, you know, and stand or stay in the locker room. You know, and it's just like, man, it's a slippery slope, and it's a tricky situation. It feels a lot like what the hell the NFL's going through, and it's just ugly.
Yeah. What can you expect from the owner of a company who's best friends with Trump?
True. Robert Midler says, I read Titus walked out. I guess he walked out of the meeting that Hogan was talking
at. Well, I'm looking at his Twitter thing right now, and he's pretty much, those rumors are false. So he's in like, and I wasn't booked, so I did not walk out of anything. If anything, I was there, and he just felt that Terry Bollea, because he's calling by his real name,
Terry,
was not being true, and he was not feeling remorse. The only thing he said that he was remorseful about was being recorded. That's not feeling remorse of what you actually said.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I feel bad that I got caught.
Okay. I was like, no.
Yeah. All right, so that's that. Anything else we need to add about that?
No, I'm good without talking about Hogan ever again, to be truthful.
Okay, what else do we have?
May Young Class is taking shape. Like
Caitlin.
Caitlin is coming back.
Houston's own.
Caitlin.
Houston's own. I know that I used to get a lot of flack for liking Caitlin and, you know, actually wanting to cheer for her. Because a lot of people were like,
dude, the I cheer for Caitlin. Like, yeah, it's Caitlin.
I'm like, well, she's from here. She's a Houstonian. So, yeah, I would cheer for her. But, like, I think I got flack from Travis and Chris. Like, it's just Caitlin. She's not that good. I was like, I'm going to cheer for her.
I'm like, you need to calm your shit down. It's Caitlin.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, right now it is Caitlin, EO, Shirai, Rhea Ripley, Jenny, I don't know who she is, Casey, Catanzaro? I'm trying to pronounce as best as I can. Okay. Nicole Matthews, Tegan Knox, formerly known as Nixon Noel, Jessica Alabon, and last year competitor Reyna Gonzalez and Diana Perrazzo.
Oh, okay. Perrazzo's. That's cool.
So that's who they have so far.
When is the Mae Young Classic?
Oh, goodness. Don't get me lying.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's not next week.
Yeah, it's not next week. It's going to be filmed August 8th and 9th.
Robert Medlin says, dude, I love Caitlyn.
Everybody should love Caitlyn. Good. She's adorable.
She is adorable.
Let's see.
Her
but
Instagram lit, too. Ooh.
So lit.
Can't believe I just said lit.
You did. You're learning so well.
I know. Look at me. All right. I'm sure some stuff happened in Japan. New Japan stuff. I don't know. I'm always so stupid when it comes to New Japan stuff. That's Chris's domain.
I just watch Being the Elite, and then I try to watch New Japan that comes on Access, but I sometimes forget. There's like a whole mess of Access stuff that's on the freaking DVR. I haven't been able to watch yet.
Yeah, Robert Miller says, I was there when she won the title on my birthday, and she liked my tweet back then. That was Raw. That was here in Houston,
that
right?
Was the anniversary Raw.
That was your birthday, too? Oh, cool.
Well, dang, Robert, yeah. You're just all the things.
I was there, too, at the Toyota Center.
I was there, too. Wait, yes. We had the Dolph sign.
We had the Dolph sign. Yeah, we did. So, yeah, if you saw any schmucks holding up a Dolph sign with each letter, D-O-L-P-H, you know, one individual, that was us.
Yes. All right. I was the P.
You were the P. What was I? Was I the O?
I think you were the L.
L? Okay. Yeah. All right. Jericho's Cruise of Doom is going to have the Alpha Club.
Oh, yes.
Versus Marty and Cody and Kenny.
Yeah.
So Alpha Club versus Omega Club.
Have you booked your cruise yet?
No, I have not booked my cruise
yet. I'm going to need you to book a cruise, though.
I don't think I'm going to book a cruise.
Come on, book a cruise.
I ain't got that kind of money or time.
It's only like $100. You'll be in the lowest cabin, but you'll be all right.
I thought it was like $2,000.
No, that's like if you like want to get like super VIP suite, but they still have like lower decks and whatnot.
Is it?
Yeah. You can like get a cruise for cheap, dude.
But I mean this particular cruise is cheap.
You can get like, if you want to get a VIP pass, like $2,000.
You
make
shit up on the fly.
I am not. You look up a cruise price, and it'll say like
$300. I don't care about a cruise. I care about this cruise.
Then you go to the goddamn website, and you pull up the cruise, so you can go see the show and see Ron Funches, because I want to see Ron Funches.
Bunches of Funches. All right. Is that it? Is that a show? Are we done?
I think we're done. Is there anything going on in your wrestling world?
I'm not sure when the next DCW is. I'll let y'all know when I figure it out.
Okay.
What's the next ROW?
Next ROW is going to be August 11th for Summer Champions, and then Ladies Night Out 3, August 18th.
August 18th. There you go. Okay, cool. Robert Benson says, me and a friend of mine were in CM Punk shirts, and we almost got in a fight at the Hard Rock Cafe. Sounds like a good birthday, sir.
Yeah. Sounds like a normal night for me.
Oh, come on. All right. So that's it. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining us. Tune back in next Wednesday. Hopefully we'll be on time, but there's no guarantees. There's some stuff. Yeah. But adios, my friends. Keep it classy.